Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, as I just mentioned there before the break, Randall Plunkett, he's the 21st Baron of Dunsany Estate in County Meath, and the Plunketts are one of Ireland's most storied families, with his ancestors including pioneer of Irish social reform, Sir Horace Plunkett, and Catholic Archbishop Oliver Plunkett. Lord Dunsany took over the title from his father, Edward, who passed away 10 years ago when Randall was only 28 years old. After taking a step back to observe the historical agricultural land that he was left with, he saw a landscape that was bleak and exhausted from overgrazing and overfarming. Well, this prompted him to undertake the most ambitious Irish rewilding project on private land. Randall is an avid fan, by the way, of horror films and death metal. He's also just released a dark thriller, a movie that is, entitled The Green Sea, which is a semi-autobiographical account of an American writer who lives a solitary life in the Irish countryside. So we got to talk to him, and we will. He's on the line now. Randall, how you doing? Are you all right?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for having me.
By the way, is it Randall or Lord Dunsany you prefer? And if it's the second one anyway, how do you feel about having that title?
Well, we live in a republic, so it'll just be Randall.
Right, it'll just be Randall. Okay, fair enough. If I remember rightly, I think, is Randall the name of the snake in the movie with Johnny Depp voicing? What's it called again?
I think it was Monsters, right?
Or yeah.
One of those Pixar type movies.
Yeah, one of those Pixar. That's it. He's one of the Monsters, yeah. Inc. people. That's
yeah,
it is.
No
yeah.
relation, by the way.
Well, okay. Okay, well, look, how do you feel about the pressure of having an heir or an heiress take over the title and all the responsibilities? Because this thing has passed. Like, what are we talking about here? We're talking 500 years.
Oh, I think way more than that. We're now somewhere sort of, we came here around the 11th century, so about 900 years, perhaps.
Wow.
So we're old. But no, the truth is, we always look back at history, and we have to respect the history, and not all of it was today's fashion. But at the same time, we should evolve, you know, just like our ancestors did. They got better, they developed things, you know, laws came in, roads, all that kind of thing. And I think these things are also due to change as well. And, 50% of the population are female, so it's about time, I think.
It's about time. Okay, but, like, it's difficult because I know that you resisted the kind of taking over for many years, but it just kind of, you realise this is what you have to do, your destiny, if you like, because this is said to be one of the oldest surviving continuously inhabited buildings in Ireland where you live. You were 28, as I mentioned earlier on, when you became the overseer of the estate after your father passed in 2011, 10 years ago. You didn't want to do that at first, did you?
God, no. I wanted to drink beer, go to rock concerts, talk to girls I shouldn't be speaking to, and, that sort of thing. And the last thing I wanted to do was sit in gumboots protecting the wild or looking after, a historical property, because it's a full-time job. And basically, I'm just a caretaker. But I'm a happy caretaker, because the wonderful thing about history is you become part of history. And at the same time, you know, it's a wonderful honor to be a caretaker of history, especially when the history is so full of stories.
Well, give us a bit of that then. Can you give us a bit of background on your title and the history of your family?
Well, we came here with the Normans. We built a castle called Dunsany right on the borderline of the Pale. And, you know, we protected the lands. We did things, and some of my relatives did wonderful things, like, you know, we had the saint, obviously, so only Catholic saint in Ireland, because Saint Patrick, he's not really ours, but we claimed him anyway, so that's okay. And then we also had, obviously, Horace Plunkett, who did a lot for the people of Ireland, you know, with the Women's Association, the credit union he was involved with, the Department of Agriculture, and then, most importantly, the co-ops, which gave an opportunity for farmers in Ireland. And he spent the family fortune actually building 2,500 schools. And this was fantastic, because he believed that if you uplift the people through education, we could stand level to England, something that we had never been able to do because we were always downtrodden. And the education was the way, you know. So that was a very progressive idea back in the time. Got him a lot of slack, but then again, you know, we Plunketts are no strangers to controversy.
Indeed, and I'll get to that now in a second too, because you're talking Sir Horace Plunkett, the pioneer of Irish social reform.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was my great-grandfather as well, who was the godfather of fantasy writing, and often overlooked in Ireland, actually, unfortunately, but he influenced the likes of Tolkien, Lovecraft, I mean, you know. Heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters, indeed. And now we're at, instead of better farming, better business, better living, we're talking better farming, better business, better living now in the 21st century. So what does it mean? I mean, Horace built schools, didn't he? He started this the Irish Agricultural Organization Society.
among other things. Yeah, I know he was very proactive in that. And, you know, that's the thing. I don't know whether it's the place or our genes. We all sort of end up doing the same things. We all plant lots of trees, and we all try and sort of uplift our people. And now, you know, the schools are there, and education is, well, hell, we're not just standing level with England. I think we've surpassed England, but that's just my opinion. So now what we're really falling down on is the environment.
With the environment, I mentioned the word rewilding earlier on. Even if people have never heard that term, they can guess exactly what it means. So what made you come to the decision to stop farming and rewild the estate?
Well, Dave, it's like this. You know, when I had an overly romantic view of Ireland, perhaps. You know, I sort of was always told about the green fields and the wilderness and all those things. And then I got to Ireland and, you know, I sort of saw more and more housing estates coming and less animals. And, you know, I'd be honest with you, I asked my dad once, you know, when you were a boy, you said you saw all these things, snipe, all these various animals that I have never seen. Why aren't they around? And he said to me, well, that's the cost of progress. And that really stuck with me. And I didn't think that was good enough. It wasn't good enough for me. It wasn't good enough for the people of Ireland. I sort of thought to myself, that's what my dad is saying to me. What am I going to say to my grandchildren? You know, what am I going to say? There were no animals at all. You have to go to the zoo to see an animal, or, you know, you won't see wild plants, or everything is going to be, you know, there's going to be no hedgerows left. And that was just not good enough. And, you know, part of spending your life in history is you look back, and you look back at mistakes, and you look back at successes. And I thought to myself, like, what does the 2000s?
Yeah.
When people look back at us, what are they going to say? That we destroyed the country? No, not on my watch. So, you know, I believe in being proactive at things. You know, I'm not a person who likes to throw mud at people or complain. I just want to do something about it. And these are my people. This is my land, and this country. I'm very proud of this country, but I feel that we got a lot of room to grow. And the environment was something we were really lacking. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to wait for any governments. I'm not going to wait for the European Union. I'm going to do something. And I took the most radical approach I could, and that is to try and bring the wild back by creating habitats again. And these habitats had to come naturally. Because you know the beautiful thing about nature, Dave? It works by itself.
Mm.
And the thing is, although there is a bit of management, I do look after it. I watched it, and I slowly fell in love with it. And now I would say that I am probably the loudest person standing on a soapbox about rewilding in Ireland today.
Okay, well then let's take a look at that, because, you know, taking management of the estate and the herd, what you did was you applied Horace's mantra through this environmentally sustainable lens, let's call it, just to do better by the land, if you like. And my concern in the last couple of weeks too with some of those reports that have come out about the planet, you know, now turning to total alarm. You've become vegan some time back. You decided to let a chunk of the estate revert to nature, and that's what it's about. And all of that, it means that you've removed all grazing animals from the property and you're gearing towards an overall holistic focus on crops. Is that it?
Yeah, it's not about it. You know, the thing is with me is we're about evolution. We're evolving the things that we're doing. So, you know, a lot of people will often jump to the conclusion that I'm against farming. Dave, I make my money from farming. So it's not in my interest to shoot farming in the foot.
Mm.
My goal is to try and do better farming. You know, progress our society to do better. And I think having higher standards isn't a fault. And I'm trying to create the science, because the idea was we didn't understand these things. You know, we still don't. But if we do, if we allow the land to be studied, we might have better understanding that could, you know, we could find medicines, we could find better solutions to climate change, we could discover tricks to farming that would involve less expenditure on chemicals. And we could do all kinds of things, but we need to have that scientific data. So that was one of the things that I was very keen on. Dunsany was going to be a template, a science laboratory, and the purest of all, because I wasn't going to turn the place into a safari park. It was going to be an oasis for nature, and we were going to study what nature did. And that's what we're doing with Trinity College at the moment, and I'm hoping to open the doors to more scientists to do more more studies and more baseline studies.
And you have been studying for a while now because you came up with the concept of rewilding 7 years ago. It's a very progressive approach to conservation. So
ironically, I won't say I came up with it, but I'll definitely I found it. Yeah. And the thing is, at the time, I didn't know the term rewilding. It wasn't rewilding when I started. It was just a sort of nature conservation, but it was a sort of radical nature conservation.
And as you said earlier on, nature knows how to take care of itself. By the way, we are talking to Randall Plunkett. 51552 is our text. So let's take a look at this then. It wasn't sort of a small little bit, a litmus test in the corner and let's see what happens. You sacrificed 750 acres of a very highly profitable kind of 1,700 acre pasture in an unorthodox gamble. How's it going so far, Randall?
It's fantastic. I think that's the only way to put it. I have seen so many animals return. We have wild flowers. We have wild plants. There are so many plants, I don't know what they are. Biodiversity, at this point, Dunsany has put a capital B on biodiversity. We have so many different things growing, and there's tree regeneration happening like never before. Animals are coming back. We've had the woodpeckers. We have the pine marten. We have, you know, hares. We have more rabbits, more insects, more butterflies. Everything has come back harder. The bees are swarming. And you know what? It's beautiful because it's turned into a Garden of Eden. And, you know, it's something that I would like to build on. Because the thing is, Dave, is like we're at a time in our lives now. I think we're probably facing the largest war we're going to ever face in our history. And that is the climate war. Mm. And it's no longer about tanks or guns or any of that stuff. It's about everybody pulling together and doing what they can to protect the environment. And, look, it's not that I could afford to take 750 acres out of my farm to do this, but we have to do it. We have to make sacrifices. And I felt, you know, I cannot ask other people to make sacrifices if I'm not willing to make a sacrifice, especially people who have been given privilege like myself. We should be leading. And that's the thing with a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hatred towards people with privilege. And the thing is that us privileged people need to be giving something back to our country. You know, we've received a lot. It's time to also give back.
Okay, well, you mentioned there, like, you know, the first Irish project to be recognised by the European Rewilding Network, a large-scale joint initiative restoring natural habitat across the continent. I'll read this. Dunsany Nature Reserve is now a haven of regenerated native forests, grass, fields, springs and streams weaving through marshlands. And you mentioned your red deer and foxes and otters and badgers and woodpeckers and barn owls and all the rest as well. It's great. Also, you were gifted a potted oak sapling grown from an acorn by a local brownies group. So I presume I can go all the way and say, these trees aren't really for you, are they? They're for the next generation.
No, they're absolutely. The privilege about being alive today is that I can plant some seeds and maybe we can steer the direction of our country in a different direction, a better direction. And, you know, it starts with planting a seed. You know, I'll never be alive to see these things happen, but it doesn't matter. I go to bed at night thinking that I'm doing something that I think in the end will pay off. And the thing is, an oak tree is a great symbol. It'll take 300 years to become a king of the forest, but oh boy, will it be a king. You know what I mean? And that's the idea behind it. They gave me this beautiful oak, and it stands straight, and it'll be planted overlooking the rewilding project, and hopefully in years to come it'll turn onto a monster.
By the way,
tree.
We're talking Dunsany, which is around the Trim, Dunshaughlin, County Meath direction. So I did mention something at the very beginning there, which is like, hold on a second, he what? And he did this, and he's into death metal, and he's made a movie. So can I just go on to one of those for the second? As well as being the Baron of Dunsany, you're also a film writer, as I say, and director, and you recently brought out this first feature-length film. It's called The Green Sea. Is The Green Sea, is the title a reference to what you see when you open the front door every morning?
Somewhat. I mean, the thing is, the film was heavily influenced by sort of where I was. So it's I took a lot of the rewilding aspects of my life and I put it into this character played by Catherine Isabel, who you might know from Ginger Snaps and Insomnia and Hannibal. And what I wanted to do is, you know, you write what you know. And I'm a writer, was struggling to finish something, and I, you know, at the same time, I dealt with very strange scenarios happening throughout my life, strange people, ghosts and mythology and all those things. And I kind of decided I wanted to incorporate that into a story. And then with the backdrop of this beautiful wild Ireland, you know, and that's what I tried to do in the film. And it's very sort of surreal and supernatural and ambiguous.
Okay, hold on. Surreal, supernatural, and semi-autobiographical, maybe?
Very much so. If you If you watch the movie, you'll see plenty of Randall traits there. Everything from the bad language to the stamping of feet to driving the cruddy car.
But wait a minute, are you haunted by visions of the past?
Constantly.
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, gosh. And has a mysterious stranger kind of come along?
Quite a few. Right. Quite a few strangers have come along.
I mean, it is a chilling tale. I mean, I know you've had a bit of pushback, but have other people been quite positive in relation to the rewilding, to get back to that?
I have a huge support nowadays. And there's always going to be the people who are not sure, and some of them will come around. There's going to be the people who don't like a change.
Sorry, why would one not be sure?
Well, I think, you know, these are new concepts. You know, we're changing what was a paradigm. You know, the constant spraying of chemicals, the destruction of the forests, these things are having a knock-on effect. And although they were for a long time very profitable and there was a lot of money made, these things cannot go on forever. Just like the constant excessive use of plastic or the dumping of toxic waste into the sea, these things, you know, we will pay for them eventually, and we're beginning to see the first signs of the check appearing.
Do you think, in some ways, in terms of the land that you have, do you think the chemicals are injected into the soil and there's just no time for regeneration or recovery? And, like, you know, the land can't remain healthy if can I go back to being a bit whatever about it, if the cycle of life is ignored?
Exactly. And the thing is, I'll say this, you know, it's like the nature is like a human body. Nobody wants to take medication every day, and the chances are if you take medication every day, it's going to have a knock-on effect in other aspects of your body. The truth is you want to be healthy to start with, and you can take medicine when you're sick, and that's the way I see it. We've become overly reliant on chemicals and technology because there's money in there, and that's money that goes overseas, a lot of it. And the thing is that there's a narrative that will push to keep you taking drugs and selling your chemicals.
Okay, hold on. I mean, like, according to the United Nations, the world needs to rewild and restore an area the size of China, it says here in front of me, to meet commitments on nature and the climate. But as I say, not everybody applauds Ireland's pioneering efforts. So your mother, did she say, right, okay, he's gone. He's off with the fairies.
I think at first my mother was, I mean, look, we took about a 25 to 20% loss on our income. Now, I'm going to be very sincere with you here. Like, these places cost a huge amount of money. Everything that you make goes right back in. People presume that you're living in a castle, that it's all going to be glory, and that we have sort of these eyes wide shut type events on Friday nights where we all walk around in capes, but that doesn't really happen. The truth of the matter is it's work all the time. And every time you get a little bit of something, you're plugging a hole. And that's the reality for most people in the states like this. So to take a 20 to 25% loss when things are already difficult, and bear in mind we were just recovering from the recession back then as well, was hard. And I had to be very sincere. But my mom understood what I was doing. Especially she became a believer when she started seeing the animals come back and she started seeing the flowers and things like that.
It's great. So it does take some time and it does take some convincing. But a couple of years ago, an international study involving experts from Trinity in Dublin and UCD, they confirmed agricultural fields with greater biodiversity are better protected from harmful insects, promote pollination and produce higher yields. Basically, you know, what you've been doing for the last few years, the results are now there, aren't they?
Well, we're seeing huge increases. Now, let's take bees, for example. I mean, farmers want bees. Bees are good for farming. So the more bees and insects I bring into my place, that has a knock-on effect. And that knock-on effect will be measured over time. And that's what I'm very interested in. It's we're trying to build a database. So we have an idea. These things should be measured. At the moment, we can guess. We can you know, any sort of statement is very much just opinion at this point, but if I could get raw numbers, imagine what we could find out. Imagine what would happen if people started implementing techniques like this throughout the country. How much better could yields be, for example? And maybe would reduce the use of chemicals and heavy reliance on things. This is a very interesting train of thought that needs to be explored. And Ireland's color is green, but we are very far from it. And I feel that we have a unique possibility where we could become sort of the masters of this progressive ideas of science.
Well, there's an Irish Times interview here from about 6 months ago. Michael Noonan, the Minister for State for Heritage, includes the area of biodiversity. He said, we need to reward farmers as custodians of the environment and farmland as carbon sinks and for biodiversity enhancement. Have you been rewarded?
Well, I won't say. I'm still waiting for that check. No, I've never taken a penny. I called up the department and was asking if there was anything available for our forestry, because we have about 500 acres of mature forestry. And the answer I got from the lady who was working there was, well, we can give you a grant to cut it down. Now, if you know me, Dave, you know that I smiled very politely and said, thank you, but no thank you. We're into putting trees up, not cutting them down. So, you know, that's the kind of sort of thing. Now, like I said, I'm trying, and the biggest problem for me is I am an influencer somewhat in this area, and people want to rewild. They come to me, and they're like, oh, but we want to rewild. We want to maybe do less. How can we do it? Is there a way we can make money? How can we offset our bills? And you know what I have to say? The saddest thing I say to people is, like, you can't. Mm. There's no, you know, you can probably do it in Holland. You could probably do it in Scotland, but you can't seem to do it in Ireland. Because I've been doing it for 7 years, and there's nothing available, as far as I know. And I keep asking, and I keep getting, you know, we'll cut your trees down, or, you know, you can put some kale and some wildflower mix that have been treated with antifungals, all the things that you shouldn't be doing. And in fact, I'll put a caveat to that. A lot of the wildflower mixes that people were putting into the soil this year came with invasive species mixed in. So that's actually a disaster.
Mm.
So, no, there isn't really. And you know what the thing is with rewilding that's so interesting? It doesn't have to be very expensive. In fact, you can spend very little money on it. So it's not something that farmers necessarily have to spend a fortune doing.
Yeah, and also, as you mentioned earlier on, it's letting nature do what nature does, and nature knows how to do it. By the way, we are talking to Randall Plunkett. 51552 is our text. And just a couple of last ones before I get to something else, and that is, I presume you're going to keep the rewilding going, a lot more new and different rewilding projects, maybe more films as well. Now, we did mention earlier on there about metal. Death metal, is it?
Well, I'm very open-minded. I listen to all the levels of metal. But yes, I think death metal, most people understand what that is. And there is definitely quite a lot of death metal on my CD shelf right now.
And like a lot of that is, like, I can get all that, like a Donington festival or something like that, and like every second band is a stupid name kind of thing, and it's really kind of whatever.
There's a lot of death in those names. I mean, I got bands like Cattle Decapitation and Dying Fetus on my CD covers here. But the thing is, and that's ironic for something that someone who's trying to preserve life.
Okay, but hold on a second. Like, what about people say, oh, death metal? Yeah, that's like more.
That's pretty much it, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, I won't say all of it's very original. a lot of it, they call it, especially in mixing, you know, when you have the sound mix, you have all the different dynamics. There's a lot of what we call sausaging, which everything is compressed and it's just a wall of sound. There's a lot of that.
Right, indeed, you know, it is. Absolutely.
I am a 38-year-old teenager, after all.
Right, okay. Well, listen, I really do wish you the very best of luck, and congratulations so far with your 7-year plan.
Thank you very
much,
Dave.
Let's hope it keeps going. The Baron of Dunsany, Randall Plunkett, thanks a million for joining us on the show today. And The Green Sea, by the way, is available now on Prime Video and digital platforms. You can follow the rewilding efforts of the estate on Instagram, at Dunsany Nature Reserve is the address. Thank you so much indeed for talking to us on the programme today. Come on, Randall.
Thank you for having me.
Take it easy. Good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.